How does your organization define the word Indigenous? Because I think we're here in the West, so immediately we might think American Indian, Native American. Is it that finite or is it broader than that?
We take a worldwide view. So we always have film from American Indians, from the U.S., from First Nations in Canada, but we also get film from Maori, from Aotearoa, New Zealand. We get Australian Aboriginal film. We have been getting submissions from across the world. In fact, this year we have our first film from Ethiopia.
Looking at the world today in the way that digital platforms have a tendency to flatten culture, do you get the sense that cultures are being lost or dulled in some way because of that? Or do you think that cultures are just as vibrant as they were many years ago?
You know, I think this country is really still figuring out what it means to be a multicultural society. Because, as you say, there is that tendency, I think, from mainstream to kind of flatten out other cultures, which is why we want the voices of Native peoples to be heard. Because when people are talking about their own culture, they bring a depth and an understanding that other folks don't have.
One such voice is that of singer Radmila Cody. She's the subject of the documentary Hearing Radmila, which is being screened at the festival. Cody, who is of Navajo and African-American descent, was crowned Miss Navajo Nation in 1997. She was the first biracial woman to achieve that honor.
The art of singing, for me, is something that, you know, that comes from within, the soul. And it's such a beautiful way to share messages and to connect with people and, you know, to share, this, in my case, the Diné culture.
Cody was also featured in the NPR series 50 Great Voices, and this year earned Record of the Year from the Native American Music Awards.
So when I'm singing and I'm performing, you know, it's really about sharing the culture of our people and also just feeling that, the sense of pride that comes with being able to stand there and share that, you know, with the audience and hopefully making that connection.
Denver's arts community seems to have connected with the various cultures that are highlighted during the Indigenous Film and Arts Festival. It has grown over the past decade from one venue with three nights to a week-long event held in a variety of neighborhoods and venues, such as the Republic Plaza building, where I met with Jean Rubin.
What are the different cultural messages that you hope that people either attending the art show or some of the films will take away?
This year our theme is connections, and for us that is looking at connections between the people and the land, between and among generations, and also the connection between traditional culture and contemporary life.
I think the wall behind us is a great example of the mix of contemporary artists working from an Indigenous background, or maybe more than one Indigenous background. Can you talk about the art that we're looking at behind us?
We have some art from an artist and educator, Louis Gong. I love his work because when you look at his art, many of the pieces, your first impression is the Coast Salish design. But then as you look closer, you realize, well, it's Coast Salish design, but this is a dragon, which is one of the wood panels we have in the show. He also does some very edgy work that resonates with youth.
Gong, a member of the Nooksack tribe in Northwest Washington, creates work that fuses traditional and contemporary artistic expression. His canvas, sneakers, t-shirts, skateboard decks, and more. Perhaps that's one way culture will transcend digitization. For Arts District, I'm Carrie Saldo.